Welcome to Sweet Release, a world where beans never expire.
And your favorite book never ends.
And orgasms last forever.
And puppies never die.
How was your week?
I cooked expired beans. And it was good.
That's kind of what I was saying, though. Like, in my world, beans don't expire, you know?
And they're beans. Like, they should last forever.
I actually, like, always eat everything. You don't. You're picky.
Yeah. It used to be worse, but I'm getting over it. Like, one time I threw up because I was eating hot Cheetos. What I like can't really throw up, but I like gagged and like I kind of did. But the hot Cheetos that I was eating was like 2 years expired.
Ew.
I know, it was bad. It was a bad time.
After the after party, I thought there was gonna be food, and they didn't have anything for me to eat there. So I was so hungry, I ran out and I bought a hot dog, and I thought I was hitting it off with the guy because we were talking in Hindi and stuff, but he gave me this hot dog that was like soaked with hot dog water, and I ate it so fast because I was so hungry and like angry, and eating gives me a sense of control, and then I threw it up because it was like so, like when I got to the middle, it was like wet. You know?
Ugh. God.
But I got really nice chocolate. Have you ever had Ruby cacao?
No, everyone has been. That's like all over my For You page. You know the girl on TikTok that's like, so like this, and then you do like this, and she's like, mm-mm. And then I get my Ruby chocolate.
No,
and come back for part two. It's this girl that always makes like the most pink desserts or whatever, but she's always using Ruby chocolate and it looks so enticing.
No, I don't really see like fancy stuff.
Oh, we were talking about our For You pages. My For You page is honestly so funny. I love it.
Really?
But it took a while for to get there. I like how people are dressed now on TikTok being like, guys, this is how manifestation works. The more you look at something, the more it's going to pop up. The same thing with our algorithm here on TikTok. Like, you can control your algorithm on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, how did you guys think that life worked before? Like, did you miss the whole 2020 awakening that everyone had?
Yeah. Except I don't really think you, like, actually, it's a combination, right, of will and like limiting beliefs and then surrender.
Yes. It's discipline and surrender equals flow.
Discipline. I'm gonna get that tattooed.
It's a nice sentiment to think about in your head when you're doing stuff.
Discipline plus surrender equals flow. Do you feel like you carry habits from your parents?
Oh yeah, but I embody it fully. Like yesterday there was this person that knocked on my door, and it was like a little kid who was a little bit of a delinquent, I'm pretty sure, because he was asking for signatures for something, and I'm pretty sure he was doing like community service work, but it just kind of like scared me because he was like banging on my door.
Yeah.
And the way that my mom like answers, like she doesn't open the door right away, and we don't have like a little keyhole to see the person, so she always says like, how may I help you, like in the most like sweetest little Spanish accent voice ever, and like I literally found myself like saying like, how can I help you, like in that same way, but like I fully embraced it like after the fact because I didn't realize that I was like being so like my mom in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having like a conversation with this little boy, And he was so grateful that I signed it for him because he needed like 20 and he only had 5 signatures. Like, so sad. Like, go home.
Because no one would sign sandwich. It.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because no one, it wasn't really like a time where people would go be home, you know? It was like 2 in the afternoon. People are usually working.
People are very suspicious these days.
Yeah. Like, the only way a person will open their door is for, like, the Amazon person.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. For their subscription services. Your little Ipsy bag.
It's kind of crazy. Living in New York, you would think that you would, like, go to a store. But I've never seen more Amazon here. Just because it's, like, okay, if I need, like, a toilet, like, cleaner, like, one of those scrubber things you put in the toilet, like, where am I gonna go?
Walmart.
There's no Walmart, you know.
I love Walmart. I recently got reintroduced to Walmart.
Me too.
It's really a nice place, actually. Like, considering.
I got a hoodie at Walmart this weekend for my camping trip.
I really want to get men's boxers. Because I just feel like that would be very comfortable.
Oh, you know, it's really cute. Brooks Brothers has these really cute men's boxers that have, like, bears on them and stuff.
Mm. I think we talked about that one time. Did we say?
Yeah, we probably did.
Oh, back when we were in love. Do you see yourself getting married and, like, having kids and stuff?
Yeah. But I also think I view it the same way I view becoming a nun. Like, it's this, like, lofty dream. Like, it's gonna save me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time I picture my life with that, there's always, like, it's like in a vignette, sepia-colored thing, you know, with, like, sparkles around it.
I can feel my child, though. Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you mean, though, about feeling your child.
Like, there's someone waiting for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like having a pet with you.
It's a boy.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can see you having a boy. I'm rereading Retorius, which is, like, an ancient astrological text. And he gets all of his delineations from this Egyptian called Tussaur.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an astrologer who likes this type of stuff, then you probably know what I'm talking about. But the amount of detail that they go into with people's charts and stuff is just, like, so crazy. And I, like, use my friend's charts to, like, confirm some stuff. And you're one of the people that I use to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see you having a boy just based off of Tussaur, the Egyptians. Analysis.
Well, where did you confirm?
That you would have a boy.
Inshallah.
I think you're going to have a lot of kids. But that could also be, like, other kids as well. Like, you have kids right now.
Yeah. I was always thinking about, like, orphanages because you told me to have one. And, like,
mm-hmm.
I kind of already do, you know?
Yeah. Venus is direct.
Thank God.
Yeah, she went through hell.
Well, what happened?
The story of Inanna. I'm not really gifted in Babylonian mythology or Mesopotamian mythology. I think they intersect, though. But this is, like, the first story of mankind, actually.
Really?
Like, this story. Inanna and Ishtar, yeah. It's, like, one of the first ever created stories or mythologies ever.
Oh, can you please tell it, Sarah? Please tell us. It doesn't have to be perfect.
It's not going to, but I'm going to try. Okay, so there was... Inanna is...
Yeah, I
want
to lie down to enjoy this.
So Inanna is the goddess of love and fertility, and she has a sister named Ereshkigal, who is the goddess of war and agriculture. And she lives in the underworld, and Ishtar or Inanna lives in the upper world. And Inanna has a husband. You know, she goes through her little trials and errors and her obstacles in life, and that's all kind of documented throughout the journey of Venus's cycle. And people can, well, not people, but the people who started documenting Venus's cycle kind of saw that she would go through these things with ease and grace and elegance, because the star forms a very nicely painted rose in the night sky, basically, when they're tracking it. Because it's like a five-pointed star. It's a really nice kind of like pentagram shape that kind of looks like a flower. And so, yeah, Inanna kind of like defeats her battles with a lot of elegance. She has a lot of children. She's very beautiful. She's winged, and she has a lion with her. She's always carrying like a little cat, basically. And there's other kind of like things about her as well. It's really interesting, like her style and stuff. She wears like feathers, and she can kind of look like a bird sometimes. Anyways, so she has to go into the underworld for some reason to like tell something to her sister, or she's tasked to do so by Thoth, I'm pretty sure, which is like Mercury, basically. And Mercury is the only one that can take people in and out of hell. You know, very much kind of like Dante's Inferno, how Virgil is the one that takes, and Virgil, the Virgin, Hermes, you know, Virgil guides Dante through the seven layers. But Hermes is the one that can kind of do that with Inanna, or Thoth with Inanna. You know, same symbolic archetypal characters here. But so Thoth like kind of gets Inanna, is like, okay, we have to go tell your sister something. And Inanna is like fully equipped with her, like her little suit on, and she's got her little high heels. She got her cat with her, and she's like going through the layers, and she's like, but every single time she has to strip down. And by the time that she gets to hell, she's completely naked, and she's basically getting punished for some reason. And all while all of this is happening, she has a man upstairs, like in the heavens, who's like cheating on her and
oh
claiming.
My God.
Yeah. And his name is like Demiscus. I don't know. Starts with a D. But anyway, so this god is basically cheating on her all this time where she's through her journey. And this is symbolic of Venus's retrograde also. So this is why people are breaking up. Cheating scandals are coming out, whatever. And he's also claiming that he's the most beautiful person when it's really Inanna that's the most beautiful. But Inanna's in the underworld talking to her sister, and she ends up getting like hung. She ends up getting like pierced in her back. And also I think Miguel, you know the singer Miguel?
Haven't heard of him.
I recently saw a news article about him that he got piercings on his back to hang for one of his concerts. And that's like, what song does he have for him to be doing that? I don't know.
It's crazy to... That's not possible. It would rip.
Look it up.
Such a freak.
I saw it on Twitter, so I don't know, but...
Imagine doing that and you just get a tweet.
I know. There's, like, no news article, nothing on the Snapchat, nothing like that. So Inanna is in the underworld, and she is basically with her sister, and they're like talking about things, whatever, and she ends up getting punished, and her sister humiliates her. And then the Thoth or Hermes kind of like grabs her and like kind of saves her. And then she gets like wings and stuff, and she like flies out of hell or whatever. And then she comes back. And she has all of this, like, she's, like, enlightened now, you know, because she's, like, seen what's under there, and she's like, gone through it. But she's still, like, this very beautiful woman, like, very elegant. She still, like, has her moment of shine. Like, there's this radiance that's still coming from her, mm-hmm. Which is really symbolic of, like, the feminine archetype, I think. Like, being able to give birth and still being the most radiant person, you know?
But that's where we are now in the cycle, is it's, like, she got out.
Well, right now, I think we're being hung. We're, like, being humiliated because Venus is still stationary. And when a planet is stationary, it basically just means that it's on its way of turning around. So it's in that moment of turning around. So it's not fully direct yet until the 13th, actually, because that's when it starts actually moving. So we're kind of like paused in our ways of experiencing pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then she comes back to the heavens and she sees her man and she humiliates him and she tells him off and she thinks she like stabs him or something too.
Mm-hmm.
But her sister is symbolic of the evening star, which is, I think it's, I forgot what the name for an evening star is. It's not Vespertine. I think it is Vespertine. That's the name of what you would call an evening star and a morning star. So there's differences between morning star and evening star. Venus is. Oh, I'm sorry. No, her sister is the morning star Venus, which is called, what's the other name for Satan?
Like Bilbadoo.
No, Satan. What's his other name?
Gilgamesh.
No, it starts with a V. My mind is like not working that well today.
I didn't know. I thought, isn't he Beelzebub?
Beelzebub? No.
she said, you mean Beelzebub?
No. Okay, so evening star is basically like the more pleasures come to you, you're more indulgent, and that's Inanna. And morning star is like Ereshkigal, which is like you're forward, you want to grow things, you want to experience like the highest source of wisdom, which is beauty or whatever, like the aesthetics of wisdom or something. So if you have like a morning star Venus and you're more likely to like go after things, which is like being ruler of the underworld. And if you have an evening star Venus, then you're more likely to be more indulgent and relaxed and
Are we both morning star?
But Inanna, we are both morning star.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Inanna. I love the name Inanna.
Yeah, it's pretty. It reminds me of Alana.
Mm-hmm.
Inanna. Are you going to have kids?
I think I'm going to have one boy as well. I think we're both going to have, like, boys. But I don't want to be one of those, like, weird moms that's, like, projects their what they wished their husband was onto their sons, you know? Like, your son isn't mm-hmm. your husband. Your son is your son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it when parents are, like, too, like, they claim their child too much. Like, that's my son. Like, that's mine.
Yeah.
Like, that's not yours. Like, you don't own anything.
Yeah, think about, like, Eminem and his childhood.
I'm not too familiar with Eminem's, the lore of Eminem.
Well, he was just, like, he had, like, a really hard childhood, and he, like, ended up being Eminem, you know? And it's, like, no thanks to his parents.
His mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. So Venus is getting hung until the 13th, huh?
Yeah, she's just kind of, like, bleeding out right now. Until Mercury comes and saves her. And Mercury is not going to be direct until, I think, like, the 25th.
I don't really get Mercury because I think, like, speaking and writing and thinking are annoying. I mean, I know it's all we have. It's, like, the way that we've, like, honed our information systems. But, like, you know, primordial wisdom can't be encapsulated in words, and like everything you actually know, like everything that's like so true, it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be taken away from you. It's like it can't go into words, you know? It's just like sense alone. And I think, I mean, you know, I love reading and like I love writing, but I think the world would be a better place if people didn't think and they just felt.
We would just be like amoebas just like trying to get close to each other.
But we wouldn't have to try. We could just be a family.
But there would be no faculties of wisdom to guide us to emotional...
Back to ourselves.
But we'd be too much into ourselves if we didn't think.
Yeah, I guess the whole reason we came here was to think and be like hard and separate.
No, the reason why we're here is to form relationships, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
But not everyone is meant to share their life like that. Like, think about like an old man who lives on a hill and like hasn't seen someone in 10 years. Like, there are people like that, you know?
It's sad.
I don't think it's sad.
Like Bjork with her house on an island. I don't even think that's Bjork's house. I think they just said that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point that you made, though, about 10 seconds ago.
Well, you said something like that recently, too, how... I mean, I've come to understand your language by understanding, like, each of the gods sort of as, like, a type of, like, an embodiment of a human trait or a human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mercury can, like, talk all he wants and Jupiter just laughs, you know?
Yeah. Every planet has its own wisdom, though. Like, people think that Venus doesn't have anything to do with intelligence, and that can be farthest from the truth, you know? Venus has the intelligence of bartering and manipulation, and that's a beautiful thing.
I think you can also look at, like, Venusian qualities as reflecting the merit you accumulated in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you... are beautiful, healthy, have longevity, wealth, like all of these Venusian qualities, they mean that you gained merit in your past lives, you know?
Yes. And also Venus is about attraction. And I often find that people who have really well-placed Venuses are really good at manifesting things or attracting things towards them, obviously, because they're beautiful, you know, but I don't want to equate beauty to happiness at all. Because that's not the truth. At least physical beauty. It's not the truth.
I mean, when you say beautiful, it can mean something totally different than when I say beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But in my... I don't know, there was like a time in my life when I wasn't really like trying to be anything, and I was like in love.
Yeah.
And I just looked so pretty.
Yeah.
You know, like just like I have like harshness in my face now, like I have like tension, you know.
You've gone through it.
Well, no, like, but have you ever seen pictures like of Obama, like before and after?
Oh, I know.
He was president.
Yeah. Full gray hair, everything.
Yeah. And
I love seeing those girls. That is true, though. Like, the happier you are, like, the more beautiful. Like, one of my past coworkers, I'm not, like, a super health-conscious person. I mean, I am. But she would literally get... Her boyfriend would come with her into work and, like, provide her with, like, crumble cookies, you know? And, like, crumble cookies are, like, 1,000 calories. Like, something ridiculous like that. I don't know. But it's, like... I think, like, one bite of, like, have you seen that video of that guy that's, like, eating a crumble cookie and then running to see how long or whatever?
How long he could run after eating it?
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. But anyways, so her boyfriend would bring her, like, 3 crumble cookies, and they would just, like, be eating it together. And she was so beautiful, and it was so beautiful, and I feel like, I don't know, there's just, like, she didn't care, you know? She didn't care about anything, how she looked around him. But there was just this, like, radiance and this glow and this essence and this ephemeral nature that, like, filled the room with, like, their soggy love.
Happy wife, happy life.
And that's why Venus exalts in Pisces. Because it's
so... That doesn't answer that to me.
It's moist. It's humidified. But Venus has triplicity with the Cancer. So...
What's triplicity?
It has like... it's like the sixth thing of dignity. So your Venus has triplicity. Even though you weren't...
I'm not good at manifesting.
Yeah, you are. Oh, actually, I don't know. Really? I don't know if you are, actually.
I don't really agree with it.
I'm trying to think of, like, an example.
Well, no, hear me out. I don't feel like it's necessary at any point for me to, like, disrupt the cosmos and be like, this is what I want, you know? Like... I don't know, on my good days, I know my plan, I know my fate, you know, and, like, it's only ever out of, like, fear that I'm, like, please, like, let me, like, handle this, like, let me control this, like, I want control, you know, yeah, it's just wanting to have control, I think, and I don't, I mean, I think because I have so much, like, reverence and respect for the conditions that my prayers really are answered, but I never pray in a way that's going to like alter, you know, it's more like help me receive this strength, like there's only one time I can remember that I like prayed for something to change and it was because my friend was sick.
Yeah, praying is a beautiful practice.
I prayed today.
Yeah, I think everyone should pray. And, like, actually, like, put your hands in amen.
Like, get on your fucking knees.
It feels nice to pray on your knees. I don't do it often because I think it's a little bit, like, too much. But if I see someone going through it, I know God really enjoys to see me on my knees.
Do you feel like you're going through it as well with Venus and Paul? Like, do you feel like you've been degraded?
In ways, just because Venus is transiting through my 12th house and it's like the house of self-sabotage. So I'm seeing myself, like, have a weird imbalanced relationship with my pleasures. Like, what I really want to do versus what I should do.
I don't know why. I just, like, disagree with the word manifest. Like, I don't want to say that I've, like, manifested anything. But I did write my ex-boyfriend in a notebook. It was... during COVID as well, and I was just feeling really, like, comfortable with, like, the space in my life, and, you know, I was having one of those, like, gorgeous times where you're, like, drinking tea and writing in your notebook, and there's, like, lullabies playing, and I wrote down a list of qualities that I wanted my next person to have, and they started out really broad, like, you know, like, loves me, and they got very specific until I was, like, writing down what I wanted him to wear and his hobbies. I even said I wanted him to have 2 passports, and then I met Jan in such a miraculous way. Like, he just walked up the mountain that I was living on. And it was literally, like, from the moment I saw him, it felt like he had been, like, delivered there for me, you know? I was just like, oh my God.
I dreamt about you before we started talking. Did I tell you that? How has Venus retrograde been treating you? How did it treat you? What did you learn?
Honestly, this has been one of the hardest times for me in the hardest time in the last year for me. Why are you laughing at that?
And
do you think I'm dramatic?
Yeah, a little bit. You had to like correct yourself. I thought that was funny.
Well, no, because when I was in Berlin, like last fall, I like bled through my pants and just like kept wearing them. And I was like talking on the phone with my father like daily.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little slice of life for you. I'm trying to like point to something tangible though. I mean, I really relate to being like stripped bare. Like I think I've said to you, like feeling like Mr. Krabs without the shell. Just like losing a lot of my armor and then looking at my life, you know, like my paths and my systems and just wanting to like destroy them. Feeling like I built like a house around myself, and it's actually a really like shitty house, and I don't know how to get out of it. Like I forgot to build a door. And I guess also feeling a little bit older, like the last time I was in New York, I was like a teenager or like just coming out of that. And now I see people that age and I'm not like them.
You feel separated.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you're not like them because think about the issues that you had then.
Yeah. Time just keeps going though, you know, like no matter what.
Yeah, it feels good though.
How's your Venus retrograde been?
I think we talked about me too much.
Really? No, we talked.
How's your style?
My style?
Has it changed?
Since when?
Since, we could say July 7th.
Since
the last time we saw each other.
Since then, I've bought a dress that was secondhand and a pair of jeans and a pair of sunglasses. And I got shoes. I got flats. I think I grew up pretty frugal and then was like really influenced like early by Eastern philosophy about like just like anti-consumerism, and I really struggle with ownership of anything, like the responsibility and the consequences of owning things. And I currently own more than I have in like many years, but it's still like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't really have a distinct personal style. But I'm, you know, I've got something to say.
Okay.
I, you know, moved to the big city, the capital of America, I'm pretty sure. And no, it's not, but it might as well be. And, you know, I'm being diligent about my work and my health, and I'm meeting people, and I'm going to events, and I'm taking opportunities, And it is fulfilling an expectation that a younger version of myself had. And it also, I think, adds like an accolade to the spiritual and creative work I've done because it sort of materializes it. But I really feel conflicted, and that's like a block for me. Just that I, like, my presence at these events isn't benefiting anyone, you know? Like, me wearing nice clothes isn't benefiting anyone. Like, it feels kind of like, I don't know. Do you see my conflict?
It's definitely a moral dilemma that I think all artists should go through. Well, not all artists, but at least ones that do art out of like a piousness in their heart or like a due diligence to God, you know, like Joan of Arc type of, oh my God, I saw this one TikTok that was like Joan of Arc Halloween costume. And I just kind of, I mean, do you, but just a little bit.
People do Jesus for appropriative. Halloween.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the moral dilemma that you have over materialism is like so specific to you.
But also just like this culture of like what it means to be like a successful young woman and how I'm like by like playing into that and like perpetuating these things.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that, where I go with that, is like, it is better that someone like me has power, has like social power because of like who I am and what I've learned and like how I like am in the world. But then I'm also like, who are you in the world? I don't know.
What really helps me is like finding what archetype you want to embody. And because you can embody any sort of archetype, like one of the mercurial nature where you're researching and analyzing and doing a bunch of brainy work, or you're, you know, getting information from God himself and then transporting it to this earthly realm. You can be that archetype. You can be the Saturnian archetype.
I want to love all beings like a mother loves her child. But I'm not there, yeah. And I'm not going to be there tomorrow, you know? Well, maybe.
Well, there's thousands of archetypes, though. But there's, like, specific people, you know? Like, you can find the same type of person in a lot of different settings.
I don't know. It's just hard for me at this time, and I think maybe this is the retrograde. It's hard for me to move forward because I feel so much spiritual conflict. And I've been waiting for a sign. I've been waiting for some sort of like direction. But I'm not sure it'll come.
Mm-mm. You have to make that action. You have to make the decision to step forward without knowing what pebble, tile you're going to step on. Moral dilemmas are really confusing because they can really seep into your subconscious, and then every action that you take is kind of dictated from that. So you need to really get in your shadow side and kind of just get on with it.
What do you mean?
Or like understand it. I'm trying to think of this Playboi Carti quote. He says it in one of his songs. And Playboi Carti's philosophy, like, he has a lot of philosophy. I love his music.
Didn't he have a baby with Iggy Azalea?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. But he says, like, I don't fuck with anyone, not even my shadow. And like, of course, like, you don't have to accept your shadow, but at least there's an acknowledgement of it. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like letting your intrusive thoughts win. Like, don't let them win. Like, be stronger than your shadow. Have more light than that. I mean, of course, the greater the light, the bigger the shadow, but it's like constantly, you have to like one up yourself constantly.
I think it doesn't matter what you do so much as how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be really, really vigilant about your intentions, because I think it's really easy to lie to yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes I notice, though, like, people who are like, oh, your face just lit up.
Hopes and fears make people the slaves of business and various other negative actions. People wear themselves out and suffer continually, exhausting both their body and speech, those excellent bases for the practice of Dharma. People who are rich never feel that they have enough and are tormented by the craving to possess more. They think only of their bodily sustenance. Constantly occupied without free time and leisure, they are no different from hungry ghosts running here and there.
But that's the dance of life. I feel like that describes like Shiva and Shakti's dance, right?
Where's Shakti in that?
The hopes.
I think I have a lot of rage.
Let it win. Because then it will eventually, you know, there's a balance always. Homeostasis. We've talked about this. You guys know.
Wait, I have to tell you, I was in this yoga class, and it was the kind where the instructor was being like very touchy with us. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, she was just giving a lot of adjustments, and she was like good at her job and stuff. But I had my legs like spread against the wall and like my butt against the wall. And she was like a small woman, and she came over and sort of like stood on my pelvis in this way that pushed it down to the ground. And like, I've, you know, as we exist in like our bodies and in our timelines, we develop certain like habits of movement, like ways that we hold ourselves and like lean forward and stuff. And the practice of yoga, like one of its benefits is that it sort of takes you back to like primal movement in a way that can like reset your body. And when my pelvis touched the ground, I just felt the deepest sorrow that it had never been like that. And you know, the pelvis is like the root and the core, and it felt like I was there and I was strong and I was stable. And I felt so sad and so like sorry to my body for like making it so invisible, you know, and so light and so floppy. I think in order to avoid conflict, in order to avoid fear, I think it's a beautiful thing to stand your ground, to know who you are so deeply that other people's criticisms and actions are impenetrable. And I think that's what I'm aspiring towards right now.
Are you building the house? Out of better materials? I guess that's your Venus retrograde story.
I don't really feel like I'm building much. There are things happening sort of like beyond me. I can like feel them moving. But I don't know. I wonder if I'll ever stop feeling like a little girl.
I don't think so. I mean, look at the way that older women act when no one else is around. Mm-hmm. They still act like little girls.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. Like, they'll be, like, eating their little bowl of soup, like, with their legs crossed, like, looking up at their movie. And it's like, girl, you're 50 years old. Oriste.
Come again?
Oriste. It means like all right in Greek.
Good night, everyone.
Καληνύχτα.